Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I am your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Mr. Marius Ruit. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is the explosive poll out from our former colleague, Franz Kronier, who runs the Social Research Foundation. And this poll has found that the ANC nationally is polling at around 37% of the vote. This is massively down from what they got in 2019, which was the last election where they secured around 57% of the vote. So it's 20 percentage points down. The main beneficiary of this growth seems to, or this drop seems to be the Umkhonto Sizwe Party, Zuma's new party, the MK Party on about 13%. Then the DA is sitting at around 25%, which is about a 5% increase from what they got in 2019. The EFF at around 11, which is, I think, a 1% increase from what they got in 2019. The Inkatha Freedom Party at 5%, which is about 2% up, I think, from what they got in 2019. And the Freedom Front Plus on around 2%. The margin of error is about 2.2%, and the party did not, or rather the poll did not discuss any parties that were lower than the margin of error. So we don't know what the smallest parties got. They could get anything from two to, you know, nothing the election. So Marius, this is pretty explosive. I mean, elections where particularly the governing party drops by 20 percentage points are not common, but they do sometimes happen. What do you make of this poll?
Yeah, it's I think it's definitely something to take seriously. It's also the second poll we've had recently with the ANC on 37, 38, around about there, and MK on 13%. The Brentos Foundation also had a recent poll with kind of similar numbers. Overall, I mean, it's not a bad poll for the DA, I think. If they get 25%, they'll be very happy in the election. I mean, that's quite a lot of growth from the just under 21% they got in the 2019 election. And overall, I mean, if these numbers hold, then the MPC parties are sitting at about 35%, which is more or less where they've been over the last couple of years. But yeah, but that wouldn't be a bad outcome. But yeah, this is, it's a really bad poll for the ANC. We're always going to get to a point at some time in South Africa's post-apartheid history. You know, it's always been a bit of an anomaly that there's been one party that's dominated our politics to such a large degree as the ANC. I mean, it's got pretty big majorities in every election since 1994. You know, the only time it's got less than 50% of the national aggregate vote was in the 2021 local government elections. We've got about 46, 47%. So, yeah, this is going to happen eventually. And, yeah, it's quite interesting that it's, I mean, it seems to be that Jacob Zuma is going to be the beneficiary of a lot of this lost ANC support. But I think this is also not great for the EFF. If they only get 10%, that won't be really a good election for them. I think that number sounds about right. They could maybe even go a bit backwards. So I think a lot of the kind of anti-ANC protest vote that some people would normally go to the EFF is probably going to go to the MK this election. Now, it's also obviously throws up a lot of interesting coalition permutations. And the ANC will have to go into a coalition, obviously, if it's at 37%. And it'll probably have to, if it does get 37%, it'll have to go with one of the bigger parties. It wouldn't be able to get over the line with small parties like GUD and Al-Jamaa and all that kind of thing. It would need one of the big opposition parties, either the DA or EFF or MK. So there's a lot at stake, I think. But that all said, 20 percentage point drop for the ANC is absolutely bonkers. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some recovery in the ANC votes before next month's election, especially if we carry on with having no load shedding. I mean, apparently Eskom isn't burning any diesel and we're not having load shedding. So I don't know what's happening. Some kind of divine intervention, perhaps. But yeah, we'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, on yesterday's show, I expressed a bit of skepticism about what's going on there, even though, you know, some of the independent electricity experts say that there actually has been some improvement. But I don't know. I it doesn't sit well in my gut, which is not a very scientific analysis. But yeah, that's the take I'm having on this one. some of the smaller parties, I mean, I think the IFP is going to be a little bit frustrated by this. They were, you know, before the emergence of MK, I think there was some belief that the IFP might be able to get closer towards 10%, which was their 1994 result and their best result. 5%, I think, is a pretty reasonable number. I mean, that is some growth for them, but it's definitely down from where they I think had the potential to go this election. And I think that the MK party has stolen some of that. But, you know, what you said about the EFF, I think is exactly correct. You know, if this poll ends up being what we actually get on election day, which is a very big if, then the ANC and MK may go into coalition, leaving the EFF with pretty much nothing, no government patronage, no positions there, locked out and with almost no growth. That would be very devastating, I think, for the party. And if that does happen, I think that's down quite simply to the fact that the EFF has become too focused around its leadership, around particularly Julius Malema, that there isn't space for other talent to rise in the party, that members of parliament and such are dismissed too quickly. You know, you can't actually build a national organization on a personality cult. And I think you can see that in how the MK party, it's certainly very much based around Jacob Zuma's political brand and appeal, but there's more to it than that. There's sort of other organizations, like we've seen a lot of church organizations and things backing the Zuma party, which suggests to me that there's actually a lot more organizational depth, perhaps, than an organization like the EFF. That's perhaps a bit speculative on my part, but... do you agree, Maurice? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But we know, I mean, the EFF's always been a personal vehicle for Julius Malema. And I've always said, you know, in 2030, the DA's leader is not going to be John Steenhuisen, most probably not. The ANC's leader is definitely not going to be Cyril Ramaphosa. But it would take a brave man to bet against the EFF's leader not being Julius Malema. Even in 2040, if the EFF is still around in some form, Julius Malema is probably still going to be the leader, you know. So, yeah, and I think that's and there doesn't seem to be any kind of internal political contestation within the EFF. And as you say, there's, you know, people get kicked out of being out of parliament very quickly. Last time I was on show, or two shows ago, we spoke about Naledi Chirwa, that EFF MP, who seemed to be pretty hardworking. Obviously, I don't agree with the politics, but seemed like a decent person. And she got into trouble in the... with Julius Malema, and then she was basically put 200th on the EFF's nationalist. Like, you know,
Karen. She was essentially publicly humiliated as well. I mean, Malema does that all the time to EFF MPs and councillors.
Exactly. So, I mean, but also, I mean, how many people can name two or three other people who are in the EFF apart from Malema? Most people will be able to tell you Floyd Chivambu, there may be Marshall Dlamini, then maybe Carl Nias, and then that's about it, really. And maybe we were seeing in Glossy, who's also gone a bit quiet these days, but it also tells you, you know, Julius Malema is the EFF, and the EFF is Julius Malema.
Yes. I think there's still, you know, whenever you see new political parties on the scene, there should always be a little bit of skepticism exactly about how they're going to perform. Because at the end of the day, a new party, we haven't seen its organizational strength tested. We haven't seen its results in previous elections, so it's difficult to guess. What's also interesting about this poll that the Social Research Foundation put out is that it has two turnout scenarios. One is a 66% turnout, which is the same as the 2019 election, and one is a 60% turnout, which is in line with what many people expect, which is a lower turnout than the previous election. And the results really don't change that much between the two turnout scenarios, which is quite interesting. Which suggests perhaps the turnout will not be as big of a factor as some, including myself, have perhaps thought in the lead up to this. It's an important thing to watch, but if this poll, and it is a snapshot of how things are now, it's not a prediction of the final result, as all good polls are, this will fundamentally change South Africa's politics in a way that no election has before, at least not since 94. And I think... it's once again highlighting how important this election is. So if you are registered to vote, please go to pledgetovote.co.za and sign up to pledge to vote. Making your voice heard on election day is going to be very important. Last thing I just want to say before we perhaps move off this topic is I feel like a lot of mainstream opinion writers are very unfair to the DA on a number of fronts. There have been a number of obituaries written about the DA's political fortunes. If they end up with 25% of the vote, I'm going to be amused to see the ways in which people once again shift the goalposts to declare that this is actually a terrible result for the DA because they could have grown so much more, something along those lines. Marius, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think often the DA is held to a bit of a higher standard than the other political parties. And I mean, sometimes it boggles the mind a bit and you think it is a bit unfair, but also is what it is. And, you got to work with what you have and what you not what you want. So the DA has also got to deal with the media as it exists in South Africa and not as it wished it existed. But they also said, it's not as if there's, the media is also not a homogenous entity. And there are, pockets that are sympathetic to the DA. So that's also something to be remembered. But I think in general, if we had to make a generalization, you probably would say that the media is slightly, probably unfairly hostile to the DA often. But I think with the current scenario, I think it might focus the mind a bit if we look about what could come out of this election, coalitions and so on. And, it's maybe too ghastly to contemplate, but unfortunately, we're going to have to contemplate it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to our next story. And this, once again, involves the MK party, and that is that they've managed to win another victory in the electoral court. So they've won their first victory when the ANC claimed that they were improperly registered and that they shouldn't be allowed to run in the election. That failed. And now, Jacob Zuma, who most legal experts, as far as I can tell, believed was probably ineligible to go to parliament, has managed to win in the electoral court a victory, saying that in fact he will be able to run for a seat in parliament. Now the reasoning for this is not entirely clear yet. I don't think it's been reported in the media yet. There's a number of theories, one of which is that his legal representative successfully argued that contempt of court is not the same as a proper normal criminal conviction. There's also perhaps the argument that was made that Zuma did not have a sentence of 12 months because the ANC granted him remission of his sentence. And I think I've said it before on air, but I'll say it again. If that indeed ends up being the clinching argument for why Zuma gets to go back to parliament, it will be one of the funniest own goals in political history I have ever seen, with the fact that the ANC completely nakedly politically allowed Zuma to go free from the legal system and gave him the special treatment. And then immediately he turned around and stabbed him in the back, which they should have seen coming, but they apparently didn't. The other interesting thing this says about our electoral system is that the electoral court is clearly not under the control of the ANC because it has ruled both times in the favor of the MK party. Marius, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to wait to see what the judgment says. It does seem a bit strange to me, but we'll have to see the reasoning behind it. And I think you explained it well there now. But also, I mean, this is one thing to – it's heartening in its way. In a lot of other countries, especially on the rest of this continent that we live on, Jacob Zuma would have just been told, no, you can't – you're not allowed to run. And that would have been it. And, in some places, he'd actually been in jail now with John Steyn and Julius Malema. So it's one thing that he's able to run. He's allowed to exercise his democratic rights. And, that's something to actually to be quite proud of. I mean, obviously, I don't like Jacob Zuma at all. I don't like his political party, what it stands for. But this part of living in a diverse society like South Africa is going to be, there are going to be political parties and politicians you don't like. And they have the same rights as the rest of us to, try to get votes and to put their policies forward. And this says something about the strength of South African democracy. But as we were saying before the show, we're going to have to see how robust it is, especially if, a coalition of badens comes into power after the 29th of May.
The one thing I really don't want to see from the electoral court is reasoning around the potential social political consequences of Zuma not being allowed to run for parliament, because there have been people affiliated with the MK party who have threatened violence if Zuma was not allowed to go to parliament or if the MK party was deregistered. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a form of ridiculous blackmail, which if the court took that into its reasoning at all, it's a very flawed judgment in my opinion. I would think that that's a very bad sign actually. As for whether it's good for our democracy or not, I do think that there should be rules about who can go to parliament, and I think that Zuma probably shouldn't qualify. I'm not a legal expert, of course.
But we're going to see what the reasoning behind it was. If it was sound, then yeah.
No, exactly. And the upshot of all this is, no matter what happens, no matter what the reasoning is, this thing is going to end up in another court battle after the election, entering more drama. And yet again, Jacob Zuma is once again going to be fighting in our court system, providing employment for many lawyers across the land. So that's...
You'd think an 80-year-old guy just wants to sit on his stoop and drink coffee and watch his grandkids play. You know, this guy, anyway.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's some guys out there who, they don't switch off until they're dead. I think Zuma, for better or for ill, is one of those guys. All right, I think that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you found this show interesting. We will, of course, be back tomorrow. And that's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.